Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to the famous Johnny, as always. I know, hotshot YouTuber, Patreon star, whatever. When to go for it? I mean, I'm going to throw it to you because you're kind of going for it this year with your new business, your new social media endeavor. So get us into it.
Yeah. As far as business goes, maybe twice a year, you got those deals that are going to set you back in your financial wallet pretty significantly. And you have that question, do I go for it? And there's a lot of factors that go into answering that question. It's not about the money and the product normally. It's like, is this the most best play for me to make right now for my business? And coming up with the answer to that, and I've seen people fail at this. And I've seen people just say no to this and move along to that next once a year deal or twice a year deal that comes along. It's a very interesting process. I mean, you've probably encountered this. I've definitely encountered this. And it has to be the right price, good product, and you have to be able to handle it. Because I've been offered deals I can't handle, and I had to take a pass at that. If I would have said yes to it, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now. I'd still be handling that deal. And everybody's gonna have a different answer to this. Some people are gonna say, always say yes, Johnny. Always say yes, Mike. And you have other people on the other fence, always say no, Mike. Always say no, Johnny. And then you have people in the middle. And it's just an interesting process to think about. Now, I'll turn it back to you now. You have a concept.
Everything I've dodged that would have been exactly what you said have come from advice I've gotten from people besides myself, right? So I'll give two examples. So the first example was there was this storage unit clean out type situation over in New Jersey. I'm in Pennsylvania, sort of about 4-hour drive one way. And I was told it was a great opportunity to go and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, gung ho. This was years ago. So I was like, stupid, head on, like, yeah, let's go. Like, I'll get my YouTube editor. We'll go drive over there. We got to get a hotel, whatever. And Deb, my sounding board, was like, you are not doing this. You got to be stupid. And I'm like, I'm thinking it's the deal of a lifetime, right? I'm like, she doesn't want me to make money. And it turned out to be basically a complete bust, unfortunately, for the person that did wind up going. So, like, I dodged that bullet because even though I wanted to go 100%, like, I was ready to load up the car and go. There was no stopping me. Thankfully, she steered me clear many times, but this would have been a big one because I would have had to pay for the hotel and then get all the shit back. Like, well, I guess not get all of it back because it turned to be an absolute, like, waste of time. But, like, if I just would have listened to this other person that tried to put me onto this deal, I guess, like, scumbag, I guess you would have to say, because clearly it wasn't as nowhere near what the person said it was going to be. So this was a reference from another reseller that is not in this area. It was like, hey, you need to go do this. Like, you're going to get rich off this. I'm like, all right, well, you know, I was gung-ho. And then the next one I had was a local library picking up the leftovers from the library. And it was actually side hustle experiment. He's got a YouTube channel. He did bulk books, and he was the guy that used to pick it up. And in their email back to me, they said, hey, the bookseller that previously picked these up is no longer in the business. And I knew, like, I literally went and helped him. Like, I got all of his, like, extra shipping supplies, all of his boxes, all everything he didn't need, right? So I was like, I wonder if this was John. I shot him a message on Instagram because he lives right across the river from here, like 20 minutes. And he's like, do not do it, dude. Do not do it. He's like, I literally loaded 2 U-Hauls and took it all to the Goodwill. That's how bad the stuff was. Like, he didn't even take it back to his warehouse where he has a forklift, a sorter, a table, and even go through. He said it was so bad that I literally drove it straight to the Goodwill bins and dropped it off. So both times where I was like, I'm going to get rich, dude. Like, I'm going for it. Like, this is it. Both times my ship, battleship sunk. That would have been me, and I would have been back to square one.
Oh man, one of my first ones. I was just new to reselling, and again, you guys got to keep in mind, I live in a rural area, so I was hopping the estate sale. It was either my first or second estate sale. I got chatty with the estate sale runner people. Like, you just want to take all this stuff for like $1 a box at the end? I stupidly said yes, and so I bought a few things at the estate sale, and then the end came. And then it was me and my truck for the next 3 days of my life. No AC in this place. It's the middle of summer. Loading my truck and making hauls to my. Started with one storage unit, ended up with three storage units for a full contents of a home that nobody else bought. We're talking glassware. We're talking ladies' church clothes and shoes. Yes, there were books, but there were also magazines. Furniture pieces, all kinds of. It's a home, right? And not a well-to-do home at that. A lot of it was tchotchke, cheap, I don't know, TJ Maxx type stuff. I made money at it, but I wrung the rag on that thing and wasted so much of my time because I was an everything seller at that point because I literally had everything. Mistakes were made and never again. I think it took me like a year to get rid of everything that was sellable. And then that includes me just like me downsizing to one storage unit of the crap that's not good even for eBay and be like, $100, first one here gets it. Literally, that's how that went. Yeah, it was a nightmare of a time. But I was like, I'm gonna make a lot of money. And I did make some money, but for my time, not worth it. Another time when this was a good one. Where I had a gentleman who basically ran a bookstore and took it home from him. It was, again, I met him really early on in reselling, and I would go to his home, a couple of his storage units, facilities to pick out books. But this one time, he wanted to show me his, this was inside his home, his Easton Press stuff he had. I'm like, ooh, I know this name. This is a good name. And, we started off at $50 a book, and these were all signed, by the way, by the author. And I'm like, I can't do it because I had crunched my numbers before we sat down to actually talk numbers. So I wanted to look at it first, go back home and do some research. And I'm like, no, nah, I got to get these for $20 each. That's my top dollar on these because I need money because some of these are worth $30 and some of these are worth $200. So I need to get them all for $20. And he eventually said yes to that. You could tell he didn't really want to, but I held my ground, Mike. I held my ground. And that was probably one of the best deals I did in that year. I made so much money off that Easton Press deal, but I had to take it all. That was another condition. It was all or nothing. I couldn't cherry pick like I've been doing with the rest of his stuff. He's like, you got to buy it all if you're going to do it. He's just trying to squeeze more money out of me because he's a retired bookseller. I don't blame him really, but. That was it. That was a once a year kind of deal that you walk into. And but I had to play the haggle back and forth game to make it the perfect deal for me to say yes to. Versus before, yeah, clearing out a whole home sounds great. Let's do it. It's cheap.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
You gotta go for it sometimes, right? Like us as resellers, I think like it's the adrenaline, it's the unknown factor, but I do think we have to calculate things a little bit. And I'm the worst person to calculate. Like if I didn't have debt by my side, I probably been upside down in plenty of bulk buys when it comes to, sure, like Johnny says, we're gonna make money on this 100%. But is it worth sitting out of the storage unit? And I remember I won a few CT bid lots, right? So like they don't tell you that there's no air conditioning in the house, right? They don't tell you the stuff is like upstairs in the attic. And I remember I brought Deb to one and it was July and it had to be 130 degrees upstairs and people are still shopping while people are picking up. It was, did I make money? Yes, but was it worth it? No, like going forward is like the it's my kryptonite because I get so excited and carried away and I'm like, I know I can make a lot of money. I will say this, when it comes to books and book pickups, I'm basically a no-go unless it's like good stuff from the libraries. Just going in somebody's house anymore just doesn't the work pay, like compared to the payoff is not worth it for me. So like I am a little bit more calculated. But dude, I've had huge scores this past year from just being like, all right, I'm gonna buy these 5,000 DVDs, and sure it's gonna be $1,000 out of my bank account, and I'm so damn cheap. $1,000 is nothing in my world, but I'm like, $1,000, Johnny, like,
Hurt the
shit.
wallet. It's gonna hurt the wallet,
I
Mike.
don't know if I'm gonna be able to afford my life, and it's just, I guess it's good about me being so cheap and just being so frugal that. When I want to go for it, if there's a high dollar tag, I'm always like, all right, like this has got it, this has got it, because nobody else is buying this, right? So it's not like people are knocking down their doors to go buy their 5,000 DVDs. So we have the opportunity to negotiate, like Johnny said, because nobody else is going to come in and offer to take all of the Easton Press collection, maybe, but finding that right buyer is like a needle in the haystack for these people. So we have the advantage of when we go for it, there's really no competition, right? So kind of what we offer. As crappy as this sounds, like the other person's hands kind of tied because ain't nobody else coming to get the 5,000 DVDs in the basement.
Yeah. I mean, I dealt with another lady who had a whole library wing of like my vintage paperbacks. It was given to me by another reseller friend of mine because he knows that's my jam. And he's like, I'll give this to Johnny. I don't care. I called the lady. Lady wanted 100 grand out of it. I'm like,
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about this.
yeah. I'm like, lady, I may get 100 grand out of it. Best scenario over a course of a decade once they've all sold. And she wouldn't come down from there. Kind of find out the guy who gave me the lead, he ended up dealing with the lady. And I think he spent like 10%, so like 10K. I would have said yes to that at 10K, but 100K, unreasonable. But he had to, he it was one of those where you had to like buy a little at a time to finally work down the deal to what it needed to be. I don't got time for that. He was newer to the game, and good for him. And he learned a lot. It was a nice collection. He also had to deal with like poisonous spiders. Ugh. But yeah, because they hadn't been in there in a while, and I guess the creepy crawlies got in the back, like brown recluse, poisonous, gonna kill you spiders. No, thank you. That's another thing. I got a call from a real estate lady. Like, I got a home full of books. We don't know what happened to these people, but they're no longer here. I'm like, cool. Let me drive up there and check it out. So, hour and a half away. This is me failing not to ask critical questions. I get there and it is, I could smell it when I open my truck door. It's the smell of cat piss.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh man, what did I, what, why, why? And she gets there like 5 minutes after me and I'm already just shaking my head like, gosh.
Yep.
Ask some questions instead of just saying
Yep.
yes. She opens the door and oh my God, it just hits you like bam, a ton of bricks. I thought it was bad before the door opened. It was probably the worst things ever. Some hoarder home. I just look her dead in the eye like, no, thank you. I can't deal with a hoarder home or especially a overly pet saturated home where this has transpired. And don't call me if you get one of these again, ever. I got back in my car, drove an hour and a half back.
It's you can be you got to inquire more than we do for sure, right? Like we always have to inquire so we have as many. You're not ever going to have all the facts, right? They're not going to type you up an ISBN list and like give you titles and everything. But like what Johnny's saying, there's certain things we have to ask, and honestly, you're not going to be perfect in the beginning. You're going to go buy some. I've done it. I show up and it's all microwave cookbooks, and they're in the basement, and I got to load up the IKEA bags. Take them out to the car, unload the IKEA bags into the car. Like you're going to learn the hard way when it comes to going for it, right? But as long as you're learning along the way and you don't keep falling into the same traps, like I'll tell you guys one. After library sale pickup, I did this one last year and they said it was 18 boxes. Well, it was really like 35 boxes. I have a Nissan Altima. It was 2.5 trips on a July humid day. The sun wasn't out, but the humidity was like 3,000%. So All right. Well, they want to keep their boxes. So that sucks for me, right? They want to keep their Uline boxes. I have to empty the boxes at the storage unit, take the empty boxes back. Well, this year I played it a little bit differently. Everything I know that wasn't going to be good went into the trunk. Just loose boxes in the trunk. So all that stuff on my way to the storage unit, stopped at the Goodwill, donated all that trunk, right? So I'm not even messing around with it again. I open the box, they're sorted by like genre and everything. So I know this is all junk. I'm just emptying the box right into the trunk. And that literally made the biggest change. And next year, the play will be, I even did it this year, is if I can find the Uline boxes for cheap, because I literally asked them, hey, what Uline boxes do you guys use? Like, can I just keep your boxes if I give you a new Uline box? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. Because of course, they get brand new boxes out of it. Their boxes are all beat up. That is how you kind of start to learn in different things and kind of what makes sense, right? Like, you have to, you when you get smacked upside the head, which we're all going to do, like, you got to learn from it. Because if not, you're just going to keep getting smacked upside the head and you're going to be a miserable, miserable person, especially with bulk media.
Here's another learning one for you. I was dealing with libraries before, like being the cleanout guy, but I was paying to be a cleanout guy. So the first one that came along that just wanted me to take them, I was like, I don't gotta pay. Yeah, I'll take them. Let's do it. I'm all in. So again, the year one, failing to ask critical need to know information. So there's a flight of stairs to go up. And then the books are in the basement. So that's another flight of stairs. And then they were all downstairs. And before I started, and this didn't dawn on me at the time, the whole stair scenario didn't dawn on me. Because I hadn't done the work yet. Didn't know. She's like, oh, we got some library shelving here. It's assembled. It's not disassembled. You'll have to disassemble it and take it up with you. I'm like, oh, I guess that was part of the deal that I said yes to. I guess I'm committed now. They tricked me, Mike. They tricked me. Librarians are tricky. So yeah, two flights of stairs, not only shelving, but about 3,000 books. And that this shelving is that metal shelving where each little end cap. Yeah, I was there too long, maybe like 15 hours. The books was the easy part. That shelving was a nightmare. It was a lot of it.
Oh, dude, I actually some of the ones that I won on CT Bids said like you got to take the bookcase. I just leave it behind.
No, say no to that. It's a
Dude,
no.
I tell them, I'm like, hey, I'll put it out to the curb. You can put a free sign on it, but like, I can't fit this in my car. Like, I've done that multiple times because, like, I want the books, but I can't, I'm not taking the bookcase. But like, what you said with that type of deal, like,
The shelving was so intricate. There's like, you think IKEA bookshelves are complicated? These shelvings, there's thousands of pieces.
it's. I mean, I do take risks from time to time, right? If it's an ongoing relationship, like I've the first time, like you go to meet your estate sale guy that you found and have a conversation with, and might be an ongoing relationship. Like I did this, the estate sale guy that reaches out to me every so often. He said, "Hey, come out. This house has got a whole bunch of books." I show up, and it was only about 25-minute drive, and my first time, meeting the guy. So it's always good to, hey, how's it going? Yada yada. I want to buy as much as I possibly can. And all the books, for some reason, were left out for, it was like a hoarder house, and all the books were out on the front porch. I
Ooh.
can't do nothing with this stuff, right? It's like weathered, like it's been rained on, the temperature changed, the humidity. And I straight up told him, I was like, hey, like I'll take as much as I can that's in salvageable condition, but like 95% of this, unfortunately, like I can't do nothing with. And in my defense, right, I even have like in my outreach email, like, we don't take water damage books. So like I kind of you have a little bit more of a backbone, but like if I didn't have that, like then you feel like a douchebag, right? Because you're like, well, I said I would take everything and it's all.
You feel like you've committed to it already. You kind of got to do it. Yeah.
But I had an out. I said, hey, I don't
Yeah.
take the water damage. Thank God, dude, because it was, but you gotta go for it. You just gotta risk it sometimes for the biscuit. You just gotta go for it. You just gotta say, hey, it's only 300 bucks. It's 1,000 DVDs or 1,000 CDs. You're going to make your money back. Will you burn time? Yes. But the key thing is, in these situations, your processes are going to get better and you're going to know what to look out for and what not to look out for next time one of these deals come around. Because in media, dude, we can make money on a lot of this junk. So, like, financially, I don't think going for it is as much of a risk as it is with your time being burned, right? Like, we're going to come out ahead, It just might take some time to sell it and get through it, but financially, if we spend 300 and I get 1,000 CDs or DVDs, like it's impossible to lose money on that deal. But your time is a whole nother story.
One of the best deals I ever did was, it didn't start off as a great deal, started off as an okay deal. It's the time I went out to California from Texas, drove. It started off, I found them on eBay, and it was an ungodly amount of vintage paperbacks for only $500. However, he wasn't going to ship them. I had to go get them, and I'm looking at where he's at. That's a 2-day drive. Ah! So I'm hem-hawing back and forth. Should I do it? I make a couple of phone calls. And then I think it was Jared who said, what else they got? If you're going to do a trip, did you even bother to ask him what else he got? I'm like, no. So I go, look, he's got an equal amount of these Japanese wrestling magazines. Man, did I make a lot of money off those magazines. So that pretty much sold me on it. After I kind of looked up pricing on these, they're kind of rare, kind of not. But their average sale price when they do sell was really, really, really good. So combining the two items, the vintage paperbacks and the Japanese magazine, wrestling magazines, made that deal really, really, really good and justify that whole trip. Where it was, if you once you start the drive, you're committed at that point, right? So I don't know how much money I made off of that. And the ones that didn't sell after 2 years, because it's kind of an odd thing. I sold to another reseller and made triple my money back of what I spent on the whole thing, which was just ridiculous because I made tons of money off the ones that sold through eBay. So that was one of the best deals I did, but it wasn't. Again, you got to ask these key questions. I keep coming back where I failed and where I've succeeded. It's always it involves a key question. So that's a learning lesson for those bothering to get to the podcast at this point in the episode.
Yeah, dude, it's the resellers' kryptonite, dude. We want the crazy big storage unit where we don't know what's behind the door, right? Like, I think that's like our dopamine as resellers is like a chance at finding a gold bar, right? Like, it's funny because some people be like, oh, I found somebody put in the Discord, they found some money in a book, and I'm just like, yeah, I've done that once. Like, I found a Lululemon gift card in a book once for $100, and it was actually like I
Oh,
got
wow.
the Lululemon gift card. I'm like, there's probably nothing on this, right? I'm like, oh, $100, that's like one shirt at Lululemon, right? So like it but like that's the appeal of going for it. You don't know what's there. Like, I bought mystery boxes from CT Bids. It's just like a box of books. How much you bid? All right, I'm about bid of $5, right? Yeah, what's the worst that can go wrong? I get a cool YouTube video out of it, right? Like, and that wound up working out. On paper, it worked out. But yet again, like Johnny said, I didn't know that they were in the basement. And this was an old house, and the staircase was like barely big enough to carry the books up. And then there's like a lamp on the wall. So I can't even put the box on my shoulder because I would hit the lamp that's attached to the wall. It was, oh yeah. And the parking lot was taken by the guy that was buying the 10,000 pound safe. So I had to park halfway down the block. So it was, yeah. I mean, these are things though, right? It's fun, but it's a lot of damn work. Like, this is why the used book guy is like, you say bulk, and like all of a sudden I disappear.
I mean, because of these lessons, and I'm going to call them lessons, and my Rolodex questions I always ask, are there stairs involved? And is that all you have for sale?
Do you have a you have one of those things that goes up the stairs that I can sit on if there are stairs?
And does the home have any animals? See, these are learning questions that go in my Rolodex. I've always asked these questions, Johnny, always. Does it have AC? Those kind of things. Another one, it was a weird one. This is the middle of the country. These were, I don't know what to call these people. Peculiar. We'll go with peculiar. So I get there. It's in the middle of, there's a country road, and then there's the country's country road. Guess where I went? It's that second one. And I get to this place right after I cross a church, which is beside a graveyard. I'm like, this is horror movie grade
This is
stuff
it.
right here. This is where I die. I get there, and it's not a house, but out it's a structure that they built themselves. You could tell. cinder blocks, and it's tall. It's like warehouse style tall, but it's a makeshift warehouse. It's weird. And there's weird stuff outside. I'm like, my gear's turning. I'm definitely dying at this place. Let's go inside and get this over with. So I get in there, and I thought the outside was weird. The inside was weirder. It was just piles and piles of loosely organized stuff. There was a jet ski in here, but there was piles on the jet ski, so you could just see the like jet ski handle. There were books here and there, like exploding out of, I guess, antique furniture. And it's tall. All these piles are tall, like it's above my height. I mean, I'm not very tall to begin with, but even for a 6 foot individual, it would probably be half a foot higher. So unless you're 6'6", you can't see over these mountains of piles of weirdness. This place is maybe, I don't know, 7, 8,000 square feet. It's pretty big. And then this is the best part. They had a fireplace. And then they had a baby's gate thingy around the fireplace. It was like the safe zone.
That was
So
a
you
ritual zone, dude. That's where they're gonna sacrifice you.
right? So they unhat, they greet me and they walk me over it and they do the little gate. It's like, you can get whatever you want out of here. Just don't put anything in this pile or this gated area. And you can't take anything from this gated area. I'm like, this is the weirdest deal ever. But okay, yes, sir. I don't know. I spent like 3 days just like digging, digging, and digging some more because you never know what's underneath any one thing. It could be, I don't know, gold bar, or it could be a jet ski. I still remember the jet ski, man. That just blew my mind. Like, they got a jet ski? How do they even get that through the door? The door is a normal sized door. A jet ski. I came to the conclusion of the jet ski was always there, and they built the building around the jet ski.
Oh, I got a good one that no bookseller's ever gonna ask. This is one you're gonna have to add to your Rolodex because I guarantee you it's not on there. And this actually happened to me. Bulk pickup. Yeah, we got books. Sent photos of the bookshelves. All right, I'll come get it. Johnny, the books were the books that are just for show. All the pages are
Oh,
blank.
the
So
books have words in them.
I remember because I drug Dev out. It's like this huge warehouse, and he's like, yeah, there's books here, and they were like auctioning stuff off, but they didn't want to auction the books off because I know nobody wanted them. And like, there's books over here, and the books that were over there was probably like 2 foot stack that were out on the auction floor that were actual books. But then there was like office rooms where they did like photo shoots that had all of the fake books that they were expecting us to take. Dude, we just peaced out. We're just like waiting for nobody to be looking our way. And we just ran for the car because the books literally were just fake books on the shelf. I'm thinking to myself, like, how the hell could I have avoided this? They literally sent photos and they look like books on the bookshelf, but I didn't know there was no words. Like, do I
I would
have,
have never thought to ask that ever.
like, do you have to put that? Like, when you have a, are there words in these books? Like, they're gonna think I'm some type of idiot.
Want to try to tell you the best part. The wife, she was helping me out. They knew I was there for just books. So every now and then I'd hear her shout out, "I got books over here." And like, "Where is here? This place is like a maze." And she like see my hand and she'd be like waving it over a pile. I'm like, "Yes, but I have no idea how to get to you from where I am. I'm gonna go through the labyrinth to try." And it's the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever done in reselling. But I did make money, yes. Was it worth my time? No. Was it a legendary story? Yes.
Yeah, so I think overall the takeaway from going forward is you got to take a few things into consideration. How much inventory is it going to be? How far is it going to be, right? Because that's going to decide, do we need a U-Haul? I personally have never rented a U-Haul. I load up the Altima. I've literally filled that car to the top with books, multiple trips, CDs, DVDs, whatever it may be. And it's okay to go for it, right? But just make sure it's calculated so you go in with a higher probability of not buying the books that don't have writing in them, like I almost had to, right? Like you're going to learn in the beginning. And that's a great thing with media is like we can get away cheap. We can make mistakes that are completely wrong. And It maybe only sets us back a couple hundred dollars versus other business models where you got to spend $5,000, $10,000, even $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. And then if you make a mistake, then you're really looking at bankruptcy versus us. Like, yeah, does it suck to lose a couple hundred bucks, $1,000? Yeah, but I mean, then you got stories to tell on podcasts about books that don't have words in them because nobody out there is going to ask if the books actually have words in them. So, what's your final thoughts on going for it?
You may not have the right questions at the beginning, but you will after a few goes at this. Just remember those questions and remember to always ask those questions and evaluate your time. Like, ask about the environment so you avoid stairs and non-heated or non-cooled places that may occupy half a day of your time. And I think that's the most crucial thing. It's hard to lose money in what we do, but is it the thing that we can make the most money doing? It's analyzing that very simplistic but often because of our excitement overlooked question. Like, lots of books, lots of media, we always want to say yes to that. But knowing when to say no to that, I think, is more important. And the only way to say no to that is knowing what's your time worth and asking the key critical questions that can lead you to a yes or no scenario.
That's going to do it. As always, we appreciate you watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast platforms, and we'll talk to y'all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.